Second and goal, 17 seconds. Freeman on the rollout. Freeman throws. Touchdown, Cadillac Williams.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, DJ E2. Please stand up and give a warm round of applause for your host.
Yeah, what the fuck that next? Doing it big in 2000 in a net. Been an off season, y'all forget. We got the best show on the net, and we gonna bring it to you live. Be a you stream every Thursday night. Old school and Doc always keeping it tight. If you got an email, Ben, tell them where to write. Chef to the chat room. If you want the podcast, shout to you too. We gon' do what we do. About to win it all like we did in 02. Now that's fucking it, football, yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, old school, why don't we go ahead and start this show up, you did?
If you say so, E2. Hello, everyone. Welcome to whatthebug.net. I am old school, coming from Studio 76. Welcome to the broadcast. You know, I'm back home, so in theory, things should work just fine, but you just never know. We appreciate all you guys for sticking with us when things are not working. It is good to be back. A couple of you guys have noticed a couple of new things around here. We actually launched the new website today. I want to thank Dual Brain, who actually is in the chat room. I didn't expect that, but Dual Brain's in the house. My man Brian Hall over there, he's chatting it out, so... He's got the new site up and running. I want to thank you for doing that. It's taken us a long time to get this going, but we definitely appreciate it. It's good to see you guys out there. Someone's having some lag issues. I got to tell you, the lag issues, my guess, is going to be on Ustream. Ustream has been flaky as all hell. I'm going to reduce the video quality. Maybe that'll improve it a little bit. But short of that, there's not a whole lot I can do. I've disabled my virus protection during the show to make it a little bit better. And we'll see if it works. But anyway, hopefully it won't be as bad as it was in Chicago last time. So it looks like only a couple people are getting the lag. So video looks like poop now. Okay, so I'll turn the video back up and say the hell with the lag. There you go. There we go. So K-Moto says it's all good, so that's all that matters. Anyway, it's working well for Drew Hamilton. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to be talking about the Buccaneers tonight. We've got a bunch of things to update you on. We're going to go as long as we need to go tonight because I can't do a show Thursday. I'm going to see Louis C.K. here in Tampa. And while I love the Bucks and I love doing this show, I also love Louis C.K., and I bought these tickets about 5 months ago and totally respect what he did selling those things direct instead of going through the man to sell them. So there will be no show Thursday night. So we're going to go, and we're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons loss. We're going to talk about why it happened. We're going to talk about the contributing factors, what went well, what went poorly. We're going to have our friend Steve White on. He's going to, of course, break it down like no other and tell us what maybe we missed. I mean, you know, God knows I like to think I know a lot about football, but I get reminded regularly when I speak to him how little I do know. So we're going to talk about the highs and the lows. I looked at the stats, and I'll tell you what. Ron says we outplayed them. Someone said the power word tonight is we. That is a bad decision if you guys want to stay sober. I'll tell you that. To say we outplayed them, if you look at the stats, brother, it doesn't bear that out. They pretty much dominated us statistically. We'll talk about it, though. It's fine. I mean, stats are for losers, as Coach Morris told us. He taught us that well. But we'll talk about those things and what those stats actually meant. I have to apologize. I am still sick. I am drinking some coffee to try and get things down. And for those of you who wonder if non-dairy creamer can go bad, here is a test. I think it may. It doesn't taste bad, but we'll see. At any rate, let's do a couple reminders. I want to, of course, thank Dual Brain for the new site. You guys poke around. It's not all transitioned over. There's some things missing. But there's going to be some really cool new things in there. The events is a new engine. We're going to be having the podcast hosted up there. We're going to be working on that tomorrow so that you'll be able to go to one place and get the podcast. We're going to update iTunes, so it's all going to be coming from there. And we also have author pages now, so when people post for us, you actually know who the hell they are. So it's a lot of really, really good stuff, and we're pretty excited about the way it looks. The pictures are going to cycle through, so if you guys get good high-res pictures of tailgates and events that we go to, fire them over to us and let us know. Now, I also want to remind you guys, and Roman, thanks for sending it to me in a private message earlier, the Dougie contest. The Buck Wild boys are running the Dougie contest. You win 4 tickets to the Eagles game. We need to get those videos in here. If you haven't done your video and you're not affiliated with What the Buck, do a video of you doing your best Dougie and send that in. Captain Bones. I don't know what the email address, but I'm sure they'll put it in the chat room for you. And you have a chance to win those tickets and the tailgate experience, the whole nine yards. I don't know the whole package. It's not my prize. So if you guys want to give me more detail about what to say, go ahead and drop it in there. Make the Block Hop says the website is fucking hot. Thanks, Make the Block Hop. Tell Dual Brain. He's in the chat room right now. He and Becca, actually, are the people that are behind that. So the Dougie contest is a lot of fun. And at the tailgate this week, we had the Dougie going on. And we had someone who was allegedly Roddy White's mom doing the Dougie. We also had, our, you know, of course, Bones and Bucknuts and the whole crew out there. It was a good time. And Bran the Don, it's easy to find out how to Dougie. There's about 700 videos out there on how to do it. So, yeah, it is allegedly. We didn't check her ID, but she rocked it pretty solid. So I'm going to say it was Roddy White's mom, but it's all good. Other reminders, like the tailgate was amazing, guys. We had a couple of, I mean, we did have the Freemans out there. They've been out to our tailgates before. Great people. It's not hard to see where Josh gets his demeanor from. You know, Ron and his wife. I don't know his wife's name. I call her Mrs. Freeman. Maybe it's just because I'm old. And the whole family was out there. Caleb and the whole crew was out there, and they were accosted regularly. But Cornhole went Teresa. Thank you, Spent. Cornhole went on. The food was ridiculous. Chef Red did his thing, as always. It was outstanding. Another note is Movember is still going on until the end of the month. You guys see my ridiculous mustache going on with the double hooks. The trick to Movember is we actually have to generate money. And I want to thank everyone who's done this through the tailgate. We've taken the proceeds from the 50-50 raffle of the last two tailgates, and we've so far generated $545 towards the Movember movement, which is a search for treatments and cure for prostate and testicular cancer. 1 in 6 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. So in a chat room full of 27 people, you don't have to be a math major to realize that that means 4.72 or so of us are going to be diagnosed. We also want to thank ATL Bucks, who generated, I believe, $290 at their get-together, which was awesome. So thanks for that. If you guys want to donate, I think Cheryl's already dropped the link in the chat room. You can donate all the way up to and through the end of the month, and you can donate to the team, you can donate to me, you can donate to Cheryl. I don't really care who you donate to as long as you donate. I am a little disappointed, so if you're listening to the podcast out there, Twitter followers, we have like 2,600 Twitter followers, and that's great. Now, I'm sure some of those people are not real people. They're just robots out there that are following whoever, right? But let's just say half of them are real, 1,200 people. $10 isn't going to break the bank for people, right? I don't ask a lot out of Twitter followers. We don't ever ask people to pay shit for the podcast, nothing. I'm just saying, how hard would it have been for 1,200 people to donate $10? You know how fast that makes a difference? I'm simply saying. But that's not to you guys, because most of you guys have already participated in one way, shape, or form. Other notes. Big thanks to our sponsors, Anywhere Transportation, Buccaneer Beads, Black Ops Seasoning, and, of course, Turbo Jill. And last but not least, and I don't have a graphic for these guys yet, Bones, we need to make sure we get that from Wally, Whiskey Willie's our liquor sponsor. Those guys have been solid, coming through for us, keeping everyone lubricated at the tailgate, along with Bones and his special brews. We have the keg as well, so it's good stuff out there at the tailgate. Now, Spent keeps saying baby doll, baby doll, baby doll. I will make sure I mention it. There were two other things that went on recently as we recap the news of the tailgates. Not this tailgate, but the previous tailgate. We did the pillow fight to stop domestic violence. Everyone brought pillows to donate to the Spring, which is a house for people that are victims of domestic violence. They needed new pillows. Brought a trailer full of pillows over there. Thanks to Buck Crazy and his dad's company as well, physical therapy company. I don't remember the name because I suck, but that's okay. He doesn't listen to the show either, so it's all good. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure we'll get it in the chat room. The pillows went over there, and then this time we all brought baby dolls over there, whole truckload of baby dolls for the kids for Christmas. So that's a great thing too. All of this stuff, and I can't say this enough, and Scott, Captain Reno said this on Facebook today. Everyone helps make this happen, but there's one person who drives this to happen. And when you see us talk about what the buck really matters, that was the creation, the brainchild of Spent in the chat room. Cheryl's her real name. You guys know her if you've been here for any longer than 5 minutes. She is the moral compass in many ways of this crew. And she keeps us doing things that many of us would like to do but don't have the follow-through, intestinal fortitude. I don't know what the hell it is. Somehow she finds time and makes things happen. Hell, we did the Ryan Neese thing. We're doing more stuff with Ryan Neese. It's phenomenal. And the fact that you guys have all jumped up and supported it is even more phenomenal. So thanks to Spent, and thanks to everyone for making this stuff happen. So it's great stuff, and I think that people are starting to realize that what we do here at What the Buck is not just talk shit about the game, have a great time talking about the team we love, piss people off intermittently because we don't pull punches, have amazing tailgates, get mildly inebriated and play cornhole, but we also give a lot back to the community and continue to increase that, which is tremendous. So, anyway, enough of that. Stock players, that's true. So if you're a meathead, watch your ass, because she is. All right, talked about that. Breaking news. Jeremy Trueblood, who's a non-issue, is now on IR, so he is even more of a non-issue, and my suspicion is that he is probably selling his house. Cody Grimm is on IR, another non-issue, and also probably selling his house. Eric Wright, suspended 4 games. He was quite certain they didn't have enough information to do that. That is another piece of data about why he should not be a lawyer and he should instead be a cornerback. Though, we have some significant data that says he shouldn't be a cornerback either. He should be some sort of tissue paper doll. It was IR. Whether they were injured or not, I don't know. Right? I mean, Trueblood's been dinged up. golly, Trueblood pulled a hammy getting DeMar Dotson water. That's funny. So the funny thing, and B. Shuck is talking about this now in the chat room, the funny thing is, I don't know the specifics, I saw him on Facebook earlier. Eric Wright fucked himself, guys. Absolutely fucked himself. He cost himself a lot of money. It's like 1.7 this year, and the other guaranteed money is done. So that's interesting. Now, I also got a tip from Mark Cook from Pewter Report today. He couldn't tell me where he got the tip, but he said that the tip is that we are not interested in Babin out of the Eagles, that he is not a good locker room guy. That is the word on the street. And Daniel Buck Daddy Shreve, don't make a move for Babin. Reputation, not what they're looking for. Look at that. I guess it wasn't Scoop, since it was 2 hours ago by Roy Cummings. Claimed David Gilreth off of waivers from the Steelers. Boy, that's going to fix the problems. Is it me or Trueblood stepped up his game? It's you, because he hasn't. And he hasn't been playing. So it is you. Lots of Adderall. Yeah, no kidding. Facebook says he's on the way to IBP. For physical. $1 place, I'm assuming. At any rate, Eric Wright wiped his ass with $9 million. Yeah, the thing about Eric Wright that kills me, guys, Eric Wright intermittently played well. And even with everything else, Eric Wright was better than a lot of what we have out there. And that sucks. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about. Our secondary right now is so thin and so overmatched, I guess is the right word. Right, and I don't mean to be a dick, but there was no intention for E.J. Biggers and Leonard Johnson to be getting this much burn. Laquan Lewis getting playing time, what the fuck is going on? Right, this just doesn't make sense. We are absolutely hurt at secondary. Now, it's not like cornerbacks that are good grow on trees, because if cornerbacks are good, you know what? They're playing. Right, they're out there playing somewhere. Gore getting time, too. Jesus, that's right. I forgot about that, Bucko Pat. And Nudd, of course, though he spelled his name wrong out there, he's missing an N, brings up a point, and we'll talk about this as the show goes on. Right? We'll absolutely talk about it as the show goes on. Going into Denver, where I will be going as well to see this game, and facing Peyton Manning with a secondary like this is absolutely a frightening thought. Absolutely frightening. Predicted 84 points for Peyton Manning next week. Oh, Jesus, that's brutal. And I will have fun. You know what? Here's the thing. And I want to give us some perspective. This isn't normally my role. Nakamoto going all Yoda on us. Carved up, we will get in Denver. Nice. Here's the thing. Lewis Black style. Nobody expected us to do shit this year, guys. Let's come down. Like, I'm listening to talk radio in the morning, right? And these motherfuckers are going off the deep end. This pass defense is just unacceptable. Where the fuck is our rush defense? We can't get to the quarterback. Oh, my God, 50 yards by Doug Martin. He's horrible. Why didn't we put LeGarrette Blount in? Okay, listen. This is what this show does, guys. We do not bullshit here. All you people who are calling into local talk radio with all of that noise, shut the fuck up. You sound like morons. Period, point blank. Nobody expected us to be where we are right now. It is a testament to the coaching staff and the efforts of the players, and I don't know, the Mayans. I don't know who we can attribute this to, that this team is playing at this level. It is astonishing, and as a fan, you have got to be pumped up right now at what you're seeing. Like Calico just said, we lost by 1 point to one of the hottest teams in the league. We had no right to lose by 1 point. Statistically, they pretty much dominated us in that game. They should have been able to throw for 700 yards. But the team hung together. We were able to move the ball. We left points on the field. That's the thing. Not only do we lose by 1 point, but legitimately, oh, make the block hop. Do not start that shit saying one thing cost the game. Unless some motherfucker drops a pass in the end zone on the last play, there wasn't one thing that cost the game. And even if that happens, you could argue that we should have already had points. But what Daniel's saying there is exactly right. When you got Mike Williams wide open going to the front pylon and you blow the throw because you don't expect him to be that wide open or whatever the cause was, that sucks, right? When you miss the crossing route that extends the drive, instead of making us kick a 56-yard field goal, I think it was on the same drive. It may not be. Calico will correct me if I'm wrong. You cannot have mistakes when you play the best in the league, guys. You can get away with that shit playing Cam Newton and the Panthers. Take that, Cam Newton and the Panthers. Ah, yeah, great. How many wins you got? Shut up, Superman. Go back on the fucking bench. Right? I told you how they dominated us, Ron. Look at the stat sheet. Right? I know that anecdotally they didn't. But statistically, they had more first downs in every form. They had 62% conversion on third down. That's dominated. That is straight, put a foot in the back of your neck and go back door on you dominated. That's deliverance dominated. 62% on third down, are you out of your fucking tree? You cannot allow a team to convert 62% of the time and expect to win in this league. You can't. It's okay, though. That's the funny part, is I'm okay. Because somehow, some turnovers, the great blitz off the edge causing the fumble that we couldn't get a touchdown out of. We only got 3 points. The pick by Rondé Barber, right? These things kept us in there. And you know what? When you're back up and when you're up and coming, when you're clawing your way to this kind of a new build or a new foundation, you got to take your shots. You've got to get your chances. You've got to take it where you can get it, right? And we did. And we almost pulled the shit off. Now, were there some things that I think were just absolutely knuckleheaded terrible? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Do I think that the timeout was stupid, make the block hop, brother? You know I got your back. Of course I think it was stupid. I don't understand. And I'll ask Steve White, because I don't get it. Now, maybe it's just that my old school knowledge of football that says when you have timeouts left and they're trying to kill the clock, you call the timeout before the 2 minute warning to get the extra timeout. Maybe that's not true anymore. Maybe not. I don't know. What do I know? I'm just a random fat guy in Valrico. But it seems to me like that's the right call, right? You don't donk off 28 seconds or whatever the hell we donked off there. Wasn't a bullshit penalty. It was illegal. That's what sucks. 44 seconds. Oh, Christ. It's even worse. See, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the game again. I apologize. You guys know normally I watch the game again. That's another thing I'm hoping that Steve White did, because he'll be able to come through with that. I thought it was 20. I thought it was just over 20, but that's okay. Ron says Mike Pereira and the entire officiating crew is wrong, and that's cool, right? I mean, you know me. I'll call bullshit if I think of a call as bad. I don't. I think that call gets made 10 times out of 10 because of what he did, right? Do I think it was egregious? No. No. The third and four and the missed field goal drive of the Falcons' defensive end was offside. Now, I heard someone else say that. Mike Pereira's a bitch. Take the block off. You make me laugh. You really do. I enjoy you. Rook, I heard someone else say that. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it, but I did hear someone else say it. Actually, at the game, I heard someone say that. Kool-Aid, no, this is coffee, brother. This is all coffee. And Dave Moore said it, so you know that's true. How could you understand it through that big-ass dip in his mouth? That's what I want to know. Darkwing Buck, great name, by the way. Darkwing Buck says bullshit on that. And by the way, Doug's run, you're talking about the, it was a screen pass, wasn't it? I don't think it was a run. There was no doubt on that penalty. So, at any rate, the point is, people, we were still in this game. Even with all of the dumb shit we did, with the leaving points on the field, with the inability to convert on third down, we were like 40% again, I think. I don't remember what our numbers were. They were egregious. Yeah, 4 of 10, which is actually good for us, but still not great. With all of that shit, we still get in position and give Josh a chance to throw the ball in the end zone on the last play. You know? It's brutal, right? It's absolutely brutal. Now, can we do that in Denver? Make the block hop. And we will absolutely be talking about that. Freeman missed some guys. Yeah, he did. Yeah, it happens. Quarterbacks miss guys. There's no doubt about that. And the one to Mike Williams is the one that stands out in my head most vividly. But you know, those things are going to happen. You're going to miss some. Quarterbacks miss them. Right now, and this is the funny thing, and this is one of the things that sent me over the edge. Skip says Clark's impressed. He made a hell of a catch this week, that's for sure, but that's what he's paid to do. He doesn't do much else, which is why I didn't want to sign him to begin with. I got nothing against Dallas Clark. I just don't have a use for single-dimensional players like that. Luke Stocker drop. Oh, good God. Oh, why is Bynum not playing? And why do we know who the fuck Bynum is? Ah, oh, brutal, brutal, brutal. But, again, brutal how? Because this team is playing way above where we thought. You know? And, because he's behind Stocker. Thanks, Callie. He's just a blocker who catches the ball. You know, John Gilmore was just a blocker, too, but he could catch. We found that out. And, you know, Andrew Bynum might be a good tight end, too. I didn't, you know, it's funny, some key blocks for Laura, because I haven't watched the game again, that's usually where I see those things more vividly on the coaches film, you can see it from the end zone view, and I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. Now, I know with 50 yards is not what you're looking for out of Doug Martin, they said they really clamped down the run. I'm going to ask Steve White what they did to clamp it down. Now, I didn't see them going to single deep safety very often, because teams know if they go to single deep, we're going to check out, and we're going to look to Williams or to Vincent down the sideline. The same way Atlanta did. Atlanta did the exact same thing. The exact same thing. So I want to ask Steve when he does call in, if he calls in. I haven't heard from him yet. We'll see here. It's about that time, I think. The stadium did look pretty good. We're going to meander around, guys. This is going to be one of those nights where you better have your dancing shoes on, because we're going to dance all over topics. I'm enjoying the chat room. There's a good energy going on over there. I want to hit some shout-outs here after I get logged into Hootsuite and find out whether Steve is otherwise engaged. We'll find out what his situation is. He says he's going to call in here, so we should be all good. We'll give him a chance to do that. Stadium, blackouts. It seems as though we can't go through a week without talking about that. We were blacked out again. A lot of people said it looked like, someone said we got to like 84% or something with walk-ups. I don't usually bother myself with the concerns about that because I know I'm going to be at the game. But I realize there's some people who can't. I thought the stadium did a good job. I thought the crowd did a good job. We still have an issue where our fans don't understand that when we're on offense, shut up. I don't know when they missed that lesson in school. It seems pretty basic when it comes to football knowledge. But, you know, 55,000 was reported. Got you. Looked almost as packed as the throwback week. It was a good crowd, I thought. And there wasn't a lot of Atlanta fans. Shit, Spent and I were talking about that. Steve is watching The Grinch. That's funny. A lot of times, and I made the comment, the only way we sell out is if Atlanta brings a lot of people. And they brought some people, no doubt. We had some great Falcons fans that were actually tailgating with us. The Falcon bus gentleman from the PFUFA who we took pictures with and all that. And my voice, this is as good as it sounded since I left, by the way. So, but they didn't bring as many people as New Orleans usually brings. I thought our crowd showed out, which was pretty decent. So let's hit some shout-outs to the chat room. I peed on my own shoes, though. What a dumbass. That is kind of dumb. You're absolutely right. Atlanta is a front-running fan. It's hard to say Atlanta is a front-running fan base when you got a fan base like this. All right, we got Edward, Buck for Life, Spent, UFC fan. Ron, Bucktastic, what is your full name in there? Bucks, Bucks Fanatic, McClary. B. Shuck, Rook, K. Moto, Matt, Daniel, Brian, B. Sizzle. Cali Buck fan, Bran to the Don, Skip Brown, Pomerlew, Buck Boy, Make the Block Hop, Bucko Pat, Captain Reno, Captain Bones, Buck You Up, FR45, Calico Jack, Nud misspelled, still, KG for Life, Darkwing Buck, RMC, Nuclear Buck, and one viewer whose name we don't know. So, bring up the Freeman Haters email. Yeah, we can do that. We can most certainly do that. Do you feel Sheridan is a long-term solution? Hey, we got a long show tonight, so don't worry. Rook, stay on me about that, because we will most certainly do that. And Make the Block off, you do need to come to Tampa. Bucko Pat. Yeah, I haven't seen Bucko Pat in a while. Hey, Bucko Pat, you still talking about bringing back Preston Parker? Mr. I'm Not a Homer? Come on now. That's terrible. What was I going to say? Sheridan's long term. Interesting. Interesting question. I'm intrigued by Sheridan, and this is one of the questions I'm going to ask Steve. I've seen Sullivan advance week on week on week. What I haven't seen is Sheridan advance tremendously. Now, the question is Butch Davis going to do it? I don't think so. I don't think that's what he wants to do. I wonder how much of Sheridan's issues are that he just doesn't have a whole lot in cover. Guys, okay, so Kamo, what would you do? Let's reverse this question a little bit. Now, I know that you can always pull the, well, I'm not a defensive coordinator in the NFL, so why should I Rob Ryan? Come on now. I'd like to see McCoy advance, says Nud. And McCoy came out like gangbusters. He's still playing good football, but he hasn't been splashed, but I think people are scheming against him. But if they're scheming against him, where has Bennett, where have all the Bennetts gone? I don't know. Haven't seen Bennett. Daniel Tanesham, who shouldn't ever be on the field, still plays well, you know. Roy Miller hasn't been a splash guy recently either. The D-line has not been able to get it done, and I don't know why. I just don't know why. But I think part of it is, as you just said, Buck You Up, our defense is decimated. And that's a problem. Let me ping Mr. White, see if he's going to call on in here, send him a message. So that's why I don't know. His schemes suck. What about his schemes suck, Skip? I mean, you're a regular here. You're a vet. I can't let you get by with just his schemes suck. What does that mean? The D-line is awful now. The O-line with all the injuries is kicking ass. I don't think the D-line is awful. You can't hold guys in the rushing category the way we do to say the D-line is awful. No, that's just your own negative bullshit that you usually pull. I love you, but that's just negative. And that's okay. You can be negative, but that's crazy. Are they getting as much pass rush as you'd like? No. I don't think so. I'm wrong. Okay. You said that before. You were wrong before. That's nothing new there. Don't put your best defensive end in a zone blitz. Happens pretty regularly because sometimes your best defensive end is also your best athlete. Absolutely happens sometimes. Reading the chat room, guys, not ignoring. I think our line is fine. I don't think our line is fine. Believe me, I'm not giving up a pass. Right? Their job is to stop the run and get pressure, and we're just not getting there. We're not getting there. To Nud's point and to other people's point, we're not getting to the quarterback enough, right? And we can't blitz. This is if I was going to beef on one thing, right? I'm going to beef on one thing about Sheridan is one of the problems that I've had in general with our defense, and it's not just this year, it's been going on for quite some time, is we seem to be absolutely incapable of blitzing effectively. This is not cold fusion, folks. These guys have been blitzing in one form or fashion for quite some time. Here's Steve White. Hey, welcome to the show, Steve. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good. How about you?
Hey, we're doing all right over here, man. Just we're trying to get some sort of a foundation, right? We got Bucks fans that are going crazy. They can't believe we'd have the audacity to lose to Atlanta. We should have run them out of the building. Doug Martin should be benched because LeGarrette Blount would have been able to get it done. Doug obviously didn't have his mojo going. I think this is another Josh Freeman sucks week. You know, all the normal shit we get in Buck fandom.
Yeah, we're a little, what do you call it, schizophrenic?
A little bit. You know,
One week we suck, then the next week we're supposed to beat everybody. So.
Well, it's, you know, and it's okay. I think it's a tribute to what the team is doing that the fan base is like, man, fuck Atlanta, we should beat them. You know?
Well, right. I mean, and we have looked good of late. And to be honest with you, it's not like we looked terrible the whole game on Sunday. We had some bad plays.
Sure.
On both sides of the ball, but you know, right at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, we had a lead for a while, and then we still had a chance to win at the end. So Atlanta's a great team. I mean, I don't know what to say other than that. We got beat by a team that's been in a lot of close games at the end and found a way to pull them out. To me, we had a real good showing. We just didn't pull it out at the end. And, I mean, especially when you think about the injuries we've had and Eric Wright being out, I thought we acquitted ourselves pretty well.
You know, this I opened the thing with nobody expects us to do anything, and look what's happening with where we're at. And I don't want to, you know, give random hand jobs to the coaching staff, but, Jesus, how do you keep this thing afloat with the number of injuries that we've had? I mean, you look at the secondary right now, and if you're not a Bucks fan, you don't have a clue who these guys are, right?
You could bet the whole lot of whatever it is right now, the Powerball, $500 million, and nobody will be able to tell you who our starting corners are.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
It's phenomenal job that they've done. Obviously, you know, there are some things that still need to be cleaned up, but You can't discount the way we've overcome a ton of injuries this year. And, I mean, we almost lost Ted Larson on Sunday.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, I think I would have changed the channel if that happened. I mean, how much bad luck can one team have?
But, well, we would have had to play Luke Stocker at guard and moves because he can't catch. We might as well get something out of his ass.
You know?
I know he's an alum. I'm sorry. I forgot he was an alum. My bad.
And I mean, and then we lose True Blood, the IR.
Yep.
And he was doing a pretty good job as the fourth tight end, the big jumbo tight end. So the hits keep on coming, but this team finds a way, even when they don't win the game, to be pretty much in all of them.
You know, it's very interesting to see. And they talk about good teams or great teams, depending on how emphatic the host is, find a way to win, right? I mean, and that's the line that people have used forever.
Right.
But before you get there, you have to find a way to be in the game, right? This team has shown zero quit. And it's amazing. We're still a relatively young team in my mind. Maybe we're not. I haven't looked at the numbers. But, you know, this team seems to never get scared. Yeah. This team seems to never get scared, right? You fall behind, oh, well, let's catch back up. They start coming back, oh, well, let's try and play some defense again, right? It's like they've got this very even keel that is really, really nice to see. Now, Steve, there's some concerns and questions about defense, obviously, and that is, you know, where your heart and soul is. We were just having a heated debate. One of our listeners out here who I know very well, Nud, good guy, says our D-line sucks. They're just, as Charles would say, knuckleheaded terrible. I don't happen to think that. I'd love to get your opinion on what's happening because the production seems to be down even though we're still stopping the run. What are you seeing on the defensive line?
I mean, once again, it's so simplistic to say something like that when you don't have to go any further than that. Our defensive line played well on Sunday. You know, but when you're blitzing, as much as we're blitzing, then it's not always going to fall on them, whether it's stopping the pass or stopping the run. We had so many blitzes on third down, so many nonsensical blitzes, quite frankly, that it boggles the mind. We finally come home with one this week, finally.
You talking about the edge blitz?
Biggers,
yeah, the edge blitz.
Come around and get the sack fumble. But, and I haven't counted it up this week, but, I mean, it's like last week we blitzed 30 times. This week we probably didn't blitz quite as much as that, but it's still a high ratio. And so you can't say, well, this guy's you know, the defensive line took because they're running the ball. Well, no, when they're doing what they're supposed to do, but somebody else isn't because of a blitzing, how are you going to blame the guy that's doing his job? I mean, that's ludicrous. You know, we have a great interior pass rusher in Gerald McCourt, who rarely gets to actually pass rush because we're always stunting him or blitz, and so he rarely even gets to rush as a three technique the way a guy like, say, Geno Atkins gets to rush every week. And so being as that we're blitzing so much and we don't really have a whole lot to show for it most weeks, you know, I was hoping this week that maybe we would lay off a little bit and let those guys rush on third downs, especially third and medium alone, but that really didn't happen. And so now you got a blitz coming and nobody's really getting pressure, and you got our young corners out there on the island. Hey, man, a guy like Matt Ryan is going to carve you up. So until that changes, if it ever does, that's going to be a predicament we find ourselves in. Yes, you're going to knock out the run sometimes. Yes, you're going to get some negative plays off of these blitzes. But you're also going to give up some yards, too. And a lot of times when you're playing a team like the Atlanta Falcons, that's really all they need.
It's interesting to see, and you were just talking about how McCoy hasn't had a chance to rush the passer, right? And earlier in the season, it seemed like he was getting a chance. We're blitzing a lot, and maybe I'm just, you know, maybe I'm just simple, Steve. If I'm not good at something, like I suck at snowboarding. I absolutely am horrible at it. You know what I don't do much?
Snowboard.
I don't fucking snowboard, right? So if I can't blitz, why the hell am I going to blitz this much? Now, I get it that you want to try and create pressure, but if you don't create pressure by blitzing, and I used to say it last year, we haven't been able to blitz as long as I've watched this team. It makes my heart hurt a little bit. It's like saying, you know what, the hell with it. We'll play 9-11. We're good. Don't worry about it. I know our secondary's got a bunch of guys with, like, you know, drawn in names on their jerseys at this point, but we're going to leave them on an island. We're good.
Right.
How does a team get better at blitzing? You've been in defense as long as I've known you and far before that. This isn't something that they just learned when they came to training camp this year. How is it that we could suck so badly at it?
Well, we have one guy who blitzes real well, and that's Frondate. But obviously can't be the guy that's blitzing every single time. And so some of it is on the guys. Some of those guys have to learn how to blitz a little bit better. But also we have to scheme up our blitzes better. We hardly ever scheme away from the back. And I guess it's because we're scared the back is going to, I don't know, catch the screen pass or something. But when you blitz away from the back, a lot of times is when you get that pressure, you know, because they have to kind of slide to as many men as they can and then leave a guy free. That's really what happened on the E.J. Biggers blitz, is that he came, there was no back over there to pick him up. The line slid down and blocked inside, and then he came across free. But when we keep blitzing to the side of the back, you got enough guys to block all of our guys, and then somebody has to win a one-on-one. And we just haven't really been doing that. And for, you know, the defensive line, let's say, they aren't just, you know, pass rushing. You know, a guy like McCoy, a lot of times, either he has to stunt inside or outside and then try to make a move. And that's not the optimal way to pass rush in this league. When you got guys across from you getting paid a good amount of money to stop you from getting pressed, you want to be going straight ahead, making your move, and keep going. And so I really think it's a matter of scheming up our blitzes a little bit better. We had one blitz against a tall sweep. They had a tight trips formation. And all of our blitzes are lined up inside the trips for me.
So they're
like,
sealed.
Please run it outside of us. Please block me. I don't want to make this play. And so many times, and here's the thing, we've been blitzing this much all year, and in every single game, you see breakdowns. You see a play where it couldn't have been drawn up that way. You know what I mean? Two guys dropping, nobody with contain, that kind of stuff. And so, it's not only bad scheming, evidently, you know, these guys need to be coached up a little bit better because it's not the same guy. If it was the same guy making mistakes over and over again,
right.
then I'd say, hey, we should probably sit that guy down and put somebody else in there that's on the detail. But when it's different guys all the time and you can tell somebody made a mistake, and I, you know, usually I know who it is, but I won't, you know, just go ahead and
You're not going to out him. I got you.
Just in case, but it's obvious. Obvious that somebody's making mistakes, and yet we still keep dialing up all of these blitzes. And listen, you're not going to come home every time we four-man rush. Sure, sometimes they're going to get first downs when
yep.
we're on the rush four, but they're not going to get the 50-yard bomb on us most of the time if we're playing cover two, Tampa two, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And so I just think we need to back off of that a little bit. I'm also very tempted to, you know, I was going to blog this week, but it's pretty much would be repetitive of what I said last week. But there's a line stunt that we run that all the way back to the Giants game, I said this line stunt sucks. It's never going to do anything to help us. We're never going to get any pressure with it. You're never really going to, you know, help against the run either with it. And we keep calling it. We called it at least five times against Atlanta, and guess what? It didn't help against the run, and if anything, it hurt us as far as pass rush. Because you're asking Gerald McCoy from outside the guard, let's say he's on the right-hand side, to loop all the way around the opposite offensive tackle to try to get pressure. That's not winning football. But we keep doing it, and we haven't stopped doing it since then. So I'm thinking about drawing it up just so everybody can see the dumb shit that we do consistently every single game and keeps getting called, and then more people than just me will see it on Sunday and get frustrated too, because you know I pull my hair out. I'm like, there it goes again. They're doing it again. And everybody, I'm sure anybody around me that's watching the game, when I'm watching, is like, what the hell is wrong with him? But now maybe other people can share in my pain and be like, why do we still have this in the playbook?
You know what's funny, Steve? You know, I think you should do that, but that's because I'm, you know, a masochist, I think. The things that we've talked about in this show for years, and I said it earlier, you've forgotten more about defense than I've probably ever known. So when I get you on the show, it's good to have your perspective on these things. People need to see them, and it takes time if they haven't been around it to see it. But like the comment you made about our formation against that tight bunch, right, the trips, that kind of pre-snap stuff, we talk about, like I'll talk about it when I'm at the game in the stadium, and my buddy's like, what are you talking about? And it can be so frustrating, and I think it's good as a fan to learn those things, because that's when we go from being checker players to chess players, you know?
Exactly.
It
then you
changes.
Don't have people saying, well, they ran the ball on us, so our defensive line sucks.
Right.
You know, they actually look up and say, oh, well, you know, Mason Foster was lined up wrong, and that was supposed to be his play.
Right.
For instance. You know, I'm not saying that.
No. It's a hypothetical.
You at least
sir.
Can recognize what's going on. And I really believe in informing our fans so they know. And I'm not, you know, saying we got to call out guys after every game. But at least you know what's going wrong. And you know what's going on. And you're not just saying, you know, blanket statements that aren't really true. I mean, that aren't really based in truth. There's people that probably think Roy Miller didn't play well because he's a nose tackle and they had a couple good runs on him. Roy Miller played his ass off on Sunday. I mean, he really did make some great plays, split some double teams, all that. But you're never going to know that. You know, if you just look at the stat sheet and say, well, here's how much yards they ran for it, you just assume, well, I know Stafford must not have done anything if they ran the ball like that on us. Hell, one time we called a blitz, I swear to God, for all intents and purposes, we had Roy Miller trying to cover Jaquizz Rodgers out in a flat.
Well, that makes sense. There's a matchup you're looking for right there.
Exactly. And as you can imagine, it went for 30-something yards.
it didn't work, huh?
Roy Miller's fault? Hell, he was doing everything he could to get out there. He was hauling ass, and guess what? Guess who made the play 30 yards down the field?
Yep.
Roy Miller.
Someone actually made a comment about that play already tonight, about that hustle play getting down there. Now, Steve, I got to ask you a question. It's a great transition to this question. I use Pro Football Focus data. Calico Jack and I in the chat room go back and forth because he hates them. You've been in the room where you guys get graded, right? You've been through this process. How can someone who doesn't have the stats that fans are used to seeing, whether they're tackles or sacks, or it depends on your position, obviously, but there are these sort of well-known, consumed ESPN stats that everyone sort of regurgitates, how can someone not accumulate those stats but grade out well via something like Pro Football Focus or in the room when you're getting your grade outs from the coaching staff? How does that whole thing work?
Well, I can't speak to Pro Football Focus and their formula, but in an actual grade room, we had a kind of unique way of grading here in Tampa. It wasn't just a plus or minus. You know, a lot of people, you know, they'll go through and they'll give you a plus or minus. Did you do your assignment? Were you lined up correctly? You know, did you make the play? Yada, yada, yada. It was pretty simple. Either you were a factor or you weren't a factor on the play. And so that was your factor grade.
Okay.
It was a ratio of how many plays you played and how many plays you were a factor on. And so, you know, if you draw a double team and make them stay on you, that's a factor grade. If you penetrate the backfield and make the back have to adjust his running track, that could be a factor. If you get a hurry, that could be a factor. A bunch of different things go into what could be a factor, but if you didn't line up right, had no effect on the player whatsoever, then you didn't get a factor grade for that. So, you know, and sometimes it wasn't necessarily fair because maybe they ran the ball a lot to the other side. But then you look up and you got like a 1 out of 20 factor grade, that's not really a good thing. That tells you, even if they run to the other side, you better haul tail over there and try to get to the plate. But that was the way that Rod Marinelli graded us. And like I said, it's a unique way of doing it. A lot of other places, like I said, they just, you know, are you lined up correctly? Did you, you know, if you're supposed to stunt, did you do the correct stunt? Did you make the play?
Right.
You know, if you had an opportunity, that kind of deal. Now, with Pro Football Focus, I have to say I use those folks too, and they're good for what they do.
Right.
But you have to understand that they still go by the TV copy. And so not everything that they mark right or wrong
is going to
be actually what you see when you look at the All-22 and you see on the end zone copy.
Right.
I'll give you, for instance, a few weeks back now, when we played the Chiefs, they had a play that they singled out where they said that the center did a good job of moving Roy Miller out of the gap, right? They were lauding the center for the Chiefs for playing well. Well, when you look on All-22, there happened to be a line stunt, and Roy Miller was supposed to cross space, and he did, and he got penetration in the backfield. The center really didn't do anything special at all.
Right.
But if you look at it from the TV copy, it looks like, you know, he made a great block because you can't really tell what Roy's doing. It just looks like he blocked him out of the play, but... And so, you know, those guys put in a lot of time and effort into their grading system, and there's definitely something to be said for that. So just understand there's still some things that they're going to miss because they go from the TV copy instead of the end zone and the All-22.
Sure, and that's totally fair. It's a question I've always asked. Like, I've always wanted to compare their grade outs to a team's grade outs, but I know the team's grade outs can vary significantly. But it's sometimes interesting. Like, I look right now at defensive tackles and nose tackles, and they lump them together. And Gerald McCoy is number 3 rated in the league based on his combined score, even though he's only got 15 tackles and, you know, 3 sacks versus the guys who are 1 and 2 who are, you know, leaps and bounds beyond. And it's just interesting that you can grade out well fundamentally, probably because of the things you said, right? He is a factor on a lot of these plays, playing his assignment, doing what he's supposed to do, and that helps other people do their job, or it's supposed to.
No doubt. Like, there's specifically a play that stands out in the game on Sunday. You know, he gets great penetration in the backfield, turns the run back, and almost makes the tackle. He doesn't make the tackle. Levante David ends up getting the tackle for long, but he really made that play. You know, because if the ball would have gotten outside of Gerald McCoy, everybody else is locked up.
Right.
And so, you know, he played the reach block, got deep into the backfield, made Jaquizz Rodgers have to make a sharp cut, and he had nowhere to cut but right back into Levante David. So a play like that, he's going to get graded up on, but it doesn't show up on the stat sheet.
Right, right. Now, Steve, and I know I'm keeping you a long time, and I don't mean to make you miss the Grinch, because I know that's going on tonight. And
it's
and I still,
that came and went.
I can't believe you can still watch Fox and Snowman, because I still cry every time I watch that damn show. I ain't watching it.
Hey, man, that's one of the greatest Christmas cartoons ever made.
It is, but I still cry like a little bitch every time I watch it, even though I know it comes back to life. But and for those of you, we have some new people in the chat room. We're talking to Steve White, former Bucks defensive lineman, former Jets defensive lineman, all-around good guy and pretty damn smart. When it comes to this whole football thing that we talk about. And we've talked about some guys that did well, and I know you don't like outing individual players, but we kind of try and get some of this stuff out. Who isn't really playing very well right now? There's a lot of people beefing on Mark Barron, saying he's hit the rookie wall and he's starting to kind of fall apart. And I'm not sure how much of that's a vestige of what we're doing with scheme, leaving him out, you know, in single high and all this other stuff. So what are you seeing out there where guys need to kind of step their game up a little bit?
Well, I didn't really see that from Mark Barron. I think there's some times where he, like a lot of other guys, might be a little confused on what to do on any given play. But he still makes quite a few plays also. And, when he gets a chance to, he's still blowing people up. So it wouldn't be Mark Barron. Let's see. Specifically on Sunday, I thought Michael Bennett didn't have his best game.
Right.
And really and truly, it's something that's kind of been going on all year, but it hasn't really been as big of a problem. And what that is that he doesn't do many level rushes. None of our guys do. That's one thing that I feel like the coaching staff has really dropped the ball on. And a level rush is basically when you feel yourself getting to the level of the quarterback, you have to make a decision. Do I continue around the horn, or do I try to come back inside and get in on the quarterback? And, sometimes you have to make the guys respect your speed rush. And so sometimes you have to keep going around the horn and try to get there. But I think a few too many times on Sunday, especially with a guy like Matt Ryan, who's going to try to get the ball out early and is never really going to try to run deep, you know, to escape. He's always going to kind of climb the pocket. Not like Drew Brees per se, but that kind of mentality, you know, move closer to the line of scrimmage to complete his passes. I felt like he ran around the horn way too many times, especially when you got a guy like Gerald McCoy, who on the few chances when he does get the rush, has generally been good about making those outside rushes, which is something I complained about the past few years, that, you know, he used to make those shitty inside moves that never worked. Now he's actually getting up the field and making those outside moves. You run what's called a natural game. You get to the level of the quarterback, you see your three technique is also making an outside rush. You just slip inside and get you a sack.
Right.
That's really the way Charles Johnson got the sack last week on DeMar Dotson. You know, they didn't really run a text game. He just felt his defensive tackle get up the field and slipped inside, and DeMar Dotson couldn't keep a hold of him. And so you can really scavenge a lot of sacks that were in pressure. And I didn't feel like he did that at all. And, you know, with the way he's playing, my expectation level for Michael Bennett goes up as well. You know, I expect him to recognize that at some point in the game and start coming underneath a little bit more, be a little bit more physical on the tackle, quit running around the guy as much,
right,
and become more of a factor on pass rush on a few occasions that we didn't blitz. So, you know, on Sunday I felt like he didn't play his best game, but obviously, you know, if you're going to talk about people who, I don't even know if you could call it underachieving, but aside from that sack play, you know, E.J. Biggers is still having a problem with making plays. You know, he's in position a lot of times to make a play, but he doesn't seem to ever really make them.
Right.
Much. And so, I mean, whether it be a tackle and run support, whether it be a pass knockdown or whatever it is, you know, I wince every time I see the ball, whether it's being run or thrown,
when
it goes in his direction. You know, I'm just... I like the kid. You know, I've defended him several times, but he's got to start making plays. It's not good enough anymore for him to just be in position. He's got to start coming down with picks and pass breakups and stuff of that nature because we need him. You know, Talib is gone. Eric Wright is suspended. You're the guy. You know, you've been a guy for a while now, as a matter of fact. You played a lot last year. So it's time for you to start making those plays and not just being in position.
And that's the – I think it's the best characterization of Bickers' problems. And I've been a Bickers defender because I don't – I think people are comparing him to Talib. I think that they're expecting him to be a number one corner, and he's just not, right?
Right.
And that's like me trying to make Trueblood a starting right tackle. He just isn't, right? And so I could be pissed about him sucking – but why? It's not his fault, right? He's just not going to be that guy. But the thing I like about Bickers is he's been tackling well, right? He's been a short tackler coming up and run defense, it seems. But you're right. When he's in position, he's not making the play. We've got other guys that are making plays that you don't expect to make plays, that are getting the opportunity, and they're making a pass breakup, or they're making a pick, or whatever it happens to be. Now, we had a couple of questions that came in here that I definitely wanted to cover, and I lost one of them, so remind me in the chat room. Oh, no, there's two. So Rook wants to know, he seems to see a lot of times where we run a zone blitz and we drop Michael Bennett in coverage, and we had an argument earlier that you just, and people use infinitives, right? You never take your best pass rusher and put him in a zone blitz. Do you see us using Mike Bennett a lot in that? I didn't anecdotally see that, but what are you seeing there?
Somebody actually asked me about that on Twitter.
Okay.
Here's the thing. You very rarely call from the sideline which side the zone blitz is coming from. You call the zone blitz, and then it goes by the formation.
Okay.
It may just so happen that a lot of these formations are forcing us to blitz opposite of Bennett, which means he has to be the drop guy. Usually that really isn't the case because most teams are right-handed. And so usually formation would tell us to blitz from our left and drop the right in. But for whatever reason, he has dropped quite a bit. But it doesn't have anything to do with incentives. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. It has something to do with the formation that teams come out in.
Gotcha.
Because that is generally the only thing that tells you which side you're going to blitz from. Now, you know, every blue moon, a coordinator might want to come from a specific side, but that is very, very rare. So, you know, it's not up to Sheridan. It's really not up to the linebackers on the field. It's up to the other team. If they, you know,
gotcha,
line up to Bennett, then he's going to be a guy that involved in the blitz. If they line up with a formation away from him, he's going to be a drop guy. That's just kind of how it goes.
Guys, for those of you listening to the chat room, that's the kind of knowledge you can get when we talk to someone like Steve, right? That I didn't know that. I like to think I know a lot about football. I didn't realize that. So it's good. Rook, you're right. You are seeing him drop a lot, but it's not that's the design. The call is what the call is, and then the formation's dictating what happens next. Now, there are a couple of things that happened in this game that have come under a lot of scrutiny. Not calling timeout. With call it 2:23, I don't remember the exact time, right? Not calling the timeout before the 2-minute warning, letting that tick down. Do you know the rationale for that? I think you and I were going back and forth on Twitter during the game because I'm like, what the fuck? And I think you said something similar.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up nicely.
Yeah,
right
I have
there
no
is
idea.
No justification
okay.
for that. I haven't seen where anybody asked Coach Shiano about it, but whatever he says...
How the fuck do you not ask that question in the room?
It does not add up.
I don't know how, if you're a beat guy, and I like Stephen Holder, I like these guys, they're smart, and they're not afraid to ask these questions. I've seen guys get thrown out before. How do you not ask that question?
I don't know.
Oh,
I really couldn't tell you because that's a pretty big deal. Like I said, during the game when we got the ball back, if only we had a few seconds left, maybe we can run a extra play towards the sideline to get us closer to where we can actually have a legitimate shot at getting in the end zone.
All you need is 5 seconds. You need five
right.
seconds for a 10-yard
right.
out.
And we would have had plenty more than that, basically, if we called that timeout. There's another thing that goes hand-in-hand with that, too. And I mentioned this on Twitter, is that after that, we had them with a 3rd and 6, and we didn't have Daquan Bowers in the game.
Right.
Now, every other time when we have a third down, a third and passing situation, he's in the game. They moved DT inside, and you have Bennett and Bowers at the ends, and DT and McCoy and defensive tackle. Now, once again, I said this on Twitter. I'm not saying that having Bowers in the game necessarily would have changed the outcome of that play, which ended up being a quick slant completed for 8 yards.
Right.
But we went four-man rush, and you didn't have your four best pass rushers in there. We had Roy in there, and this is nothing against Roy. He knows, you know, I like him a lot, but he's not one of our four best pass rushers.
Right.
And this was after a timeout, so it's
throwing. You could have subbed. Right.
But that, to me, is another question that needs to be answered, because guess what? Bowers was in on the next play. Why couldn't he have been in on that one? That's the huge. We get, if we stop them there, okay, that's one. That play was run with 1:55 left on the clock. We got plenty of time to come back if we stop them there. But we don't have our four best pass rushers in the game. It's mind-boggling.
Now, there was a, and so for the people in the chat room, someone missed this because an ad popped up on Ustream. Essentially, Steve has no idea why we didn't do that, why we didn't call a timeout in front of the two-minute warning. And he brought up another question about the lack of Daquan Bowers on the third and sixth play. The other thing I don't see us do a lot of, and we seem to do a little bit of this, we used to do a lot of it when Raheem was here, our corners, while they'll show a little bit, we don't do a lot of gamesmanship with our corners. Like, we're not going to show you press and then rapidly back off. We're not going to start back. We don't do any gamesmanship. That quarterback looks at our lineup, and they know our lineup. Right? There ain't no mystery about it. You can see that slant's open from the minute you line up. You're still in a muddle huddle, and you can see what the fuck you can do. Right? And that's killing me. But the other big question that we had, that a lot of people have, I don't have, but a lot of people have, field goal, no field goal. Where are you at? Do you go for the fourth down conversion, or do you go for that field goal, 56 yards at that point? Connor Barth, slight wind at his back.
It's so hard to say, man. I trust Connor Barth so much. You know, I've been talking this guy up since we got him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, pumping him up. Maybe I even jinxed him earlier in the year when he had the streak going.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes you have to have your trust in a guy like that because he's come through so many times, you know, even though he's not necessarily a national name. At the same time, we have Josh Freeman, who has been playing pretty phenomenal in situations like that over the course of his career, you know, with the game on the line, got to make a play. And we have Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson on the outside. It's one of those situations where it would have been a gut call. You know, at the time, caught up in the madness of a game, I'm probably going to put it in the hands of Josh Frank. You know, I just feel like with, you know, we're at home, this guy's been playing his butt off the last, you know, five or six games. We have two of the best go-get-em wide receivers in the league, in my opinion. And so you just take a chance and try to get the ball to one of those guys. But, you know, it's hard for me to second guess him on that one because I have so much trust in Connor Barth, too. But if it's me, I'm probably going to let Josh try to win the game for us there.
Interesting. I would have lost money on that one. You know, and I maybe this is just a vestige of it. And I think there's some really good data behind going forward on fourth down in a lot of situations where people don't, right? And that's a topic for another day. I mean, there's a lot of data that says that conventional football wisdom about fourth down handling is just wrong. And there's, I mean, a lot of stats behind it.
But most of it, I mean, aside from like that one high school that never goes for it, I mean, I'm sorry, never punched the ball.
Right, yeah, I wasn't talking about that.
Most of the data is anecdotal. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because like, no one's got the balls to do it. They don't want to lose their job.
Exactly. But there's a reason, I promise you, there's a reason for it. You know, it seems like when you have this data, you just go with the data. Not all of the time, because that football is shaped funny, and it takes some funny bounces.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, you know, not only playoff hopes and dreams and stuff like that, you're talking about your job, it sounds good in the meeting room, but you think about, hey, I want to actually be around here and have this job for a while, it's a lot harder to pull the trigger on.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know, maybe one day we'll have some guy that comes into the league and is crazy and always goes for it on fourth down, and we can see for sure
if that shit works.
If the guy holds up or not. But I'm just not too sure about stuff like that. I mean, I've seen too many fourth and ones, you know, where you just figure, I mean, it's fourth and inches.
Yeah.
Who can't make that to be so sure about it? But then again, you have the fourth and 29 in the Ravens game, and they get it.
And they get
who
it.
Who knows?
Football's confusing, my friend.
It really is.
Listen, I want to stop occupying your whole damn night, but I got to get your skull and your sword for this week, and I want to get a quick thought from you about the Broncos game. Because I'm going out to Denver, and I don't care win, lose, or draw. I'm going to go out and watch my team play. I'm going to be happy one way or the other. But I want to get your take on what it's going to be like seeing this pass defense against Peyton Manning, who despite having stem cells and robotics in his neck, is somehow playing great football.
Now, sword is a good one, right?
Yep, sword's a good one.
I'm actually going to give my sword to Ted Larson.
Ted Larson gets a sword!
He's a guy who, you know, very little was expected of him this year. He filled in and did the best job he could at right guard. And right now at center, he's actually playing pretty well. I mean, quiet as kept. You know, I hate saying that because I talked to DeMar Dotson on the radio on Friday, and then he had his worst game of the year.
So I blame you then.
So hey, you should. I mean, I really must have jinxed the guy. But Ted Larson, man, is playing so much better than I thought he would. And, I thought he would be our best option at center, but he's really to the second level well. He's doing a good job with the snaps. You don't even think about the snaps.
Right.
You know, with a new center,
that's
one thing that you're always worried about is, will he even be able to snap the ball back? That we haven't had any of those problems, knock on wood. But, so I want to show him some love, because probably not a lot of people are doing so right now.
Yeah.
But I really think he's playing well.
Okay.
Our skull.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You can throw it on EJ Biggers if you want to. You kind of tipped your hat earlier. You don't have to be creative. You can, though.
I can, but I'm actually... No, I am. EJ Biggers. he's got my skull. I was actually going to give it to Leonard Johnson because he seemed to take a little bit of a step backwards.
Right.
I don't know if it was the magnitude of the game or what, but he missed a few tackles, which is, you know, he's a real physical guy, and it's one of the things I like about him most. I think he panicked a little bit on the long Julio Jones pass.
Right.
And he just didn't seem to have the same kind of swagger this game as he had in other games.
Right.
For whatever reason. But, nah, it's really EJ Biggers. Even though he had a fat call fumble, and that's why I had to really think hard about it.
Right.
I mean, he's just a guy that's got to make more plays. As simple as that.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, I want to know the over-under on total passing yards for Peyton Manning and what your thoughts are of us going out west. With really, I mean, we got lucky this week. You know, we donked off a win against a team that, it's another one of these winnable games, right? I mean, you've got a couple of plays throughout the game. Josh has Mike Williams wide open on the near pylon and overthrows him. I don't know whether he was just shocked to see him that open or what happened. You know, little plays like that where we left points on the field, we could have beat Atlanta, but we didn't. And then every single chip fell where every other team lost, they could have gained ground. So here we go, going to Denver with a chance to continue in this quote-unquote playoff race. What do you see happening going out to Denver?
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, that's never a good thing.
Peyton Manning, for sure.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that we run the same blitzes. We don't really change much. We did have one interesting blitz where basically we was only rushing one guy. So it was, I guess technically not a blitz, but it was a cluster, you know what. but other than that, we run the same blitzes. So we do a disguise 30 seconds before it's time to snap the ball and then jump right into it. So he's going to see it coming.
Right.
And he's going to eat us alive. Yeah. He really is. If we keep calling it like we've been calling it.
Sure.
And here's a trend, too. Something I picked up on. we don't do all this blitz bird stuff in the first quarter.
No.
So we might look real good in the first quarter. Something about the second quarter, though, we start blitzing play after play after play. And it's going to be a problem when we show it. However, I'm much more worried about Von Miller. And I like DeMar Dotson. But listen, this kid, he's Derek Thomas reincarnated.
He's a beast.
He's just unbelievable. And he's so fast, but at the same time, so powerful. You're like, a guy like that shouldn't be able to bull rush. Yeah, he can run around, but, you know, you get a good kick step and you should get him. No, you kick step and he's coming under your chin. For real. And so I'm very, 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 very worried about Von Miller. Like DeMar Dotson a lot, but we damn sure better give him some help this game. And so as much as I'm worried about Peyton, I'm a lot more worried about Von Miller because, you know, and to be fair, you know, we had some drives that really could have gotten going, but he had some untimely penalties. But let me tell you, if they call in the game against Denver like they call this game,
yeah,
against the Falcons, giving them a little city tax, holding calls.
Right.
Woo! Hey, man, just might have to close your eyes a couple times on third and long. I'm just saying.
Oh, shit. You know, it's funny, and this is a throwback to the conversation earlier. I was looking at Pro Football Focus, because that's what I do. His rating is so much higher than the next best linebacker. He's like a 59, and the next best is a 12. On the graph of his game by game, he got a 12.3 game grade. The scale only goes to 12. The little bar goes through the top of the chart.
There's a few guys. I watch every game every week on Rewind. But there's a few guys that I always go back and watch, definitely on all 22, around the league. I like, the running back, up in, for the Bills, CJ Spiller. He does some really crazy things. Von Miller makes me drop my jaw more than any player in the league. And I can't even begin to give him superlatives that come close to really encompassing what this kid can do. You know, I thought he was amazing last year, and he's only gotten better. And so, yeah, we really need to help DeMar Dotson. That's all I'm going to say. I like DeMar Dotson a lot. You know, I talked about him in the years past, but, you know, we're going to need to do a lot of mass protect this week. And I mean, Dumerville is no slouch. But, you know, I kind of give Penn, you know, I figure they'll cancel each other out. But this Von Miller guy, whoo, Lord.
All right. Now you got me all scared.
This guy's nightmare.
I was worried about Peyton. Now I'm worried about Von Miller. Thanks, Steve. You're ruining my whole damn trip. I'm about to drink.
Hey, man, I'm preparing you.
Okay. All right. I'm saying, and someone else just said run the wishbone. I'm like, fuck that. Bring out a wing tee. I don't care if we throw a ball at all. Just run at his ass. Put four tight ends in.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing about it. The kid can play the run real well too.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather him be amazing. Tackling a running back than hitting Josh when he's in the middle of a throw.
Listen, now you know me. I've been on this show plenty of times.
Yeah.
I've never really went overboard gushing about a guy.
Never.
This guy right here, I can't help it. When I get goosebumps when I watch him play.
This is as close to a man crush as you've ever had, sir.
Listen, because you look for a hole in his game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you figure a guy who's that fast off the edge couldn't possibly be good at bull rushing, but he is. You figure, well, he must be bad in space. He's a 4-3 linebacker now, and he's great in space. Well, you figure, well, let's run the ball at him. He will crush Lord. I mean, he will, listen, he might reach in there and snatch his soul out. He's so good. This dude he's one of those few video game players in the game. It's just usually when we think of a video game player, we think of an offensive guy like Megatron or something like that. You know, somebody's doing something phenomenal on offense. This guy is a made-up player on a video game. I don't even think, you know, you're talking about Pro Football Focus. You know, you have ratings on Madden, too. Yeah. He should be higher than anything they have on Madden. It's unbelievable.
Listen, man. Listen, I don't care about this Ivan Drago shit you're talking about, Von Miller. Rocky whipped that Russian's ass.
I ain't saying all that.
No, I'm just saying. Rocky whipped that Russian's ass.
He might not be Drago, but listen, I'm telling you, what this dude did against the Carolina Panthers, if you really want to have nightmares, watch that film. Unbelievable.
Well, all right, Steve. I'll see what the hell's going on. I'll go talk to Von Miller before the game. Me and him have a conversation.
Yeah, hey. just don't piss him off.
No, sir. Steve, listen, man. I know I kept you a long time tonight. I appreciate it. Did you figure out if you're going to be able to make it out for the Super Bowl reunion game or no?
I don't think I will, but, you know.
Hey. If you do, hit me up. We're going to have a great time out there. I know that Booger's going to be out there and Pitt's going to be out there. There's supposed to be a couple other folks. We'd love to have you out there, feed you, get you some drinks and stuff. But as always, thank you for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge. And we'll talk to you after the Denver game, where hopefully, you know, I'm kind of lucky when I go to these away games, so you just never know what could happen.
Hey, man, we'll see. We'll definitely see. And have safe travels out to Denver, man. I hope you have a blast. And hopefully we can get this win.
It would be a lot of fun to be still talking about that P word, and I mean playoffs, come after the Denver Broncos game. So, reminder, Steve, writing for Bleacher Report. You got your regular focus out there. You're doing a little bit of blogging still on the side when you get all fired up about stuff. You just go to Bleacher Report, search for Steve Wright, featured columnist. You can see his stuff. Anything else you want to tell people about?
Nah, man, that's about it.
All right. Well, thanks again, Steve, man. Get out there, watch some Christmas stories, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, thanks for that.
All right, take care, Steve. Steve White, former Bucks and Jets defensive lineman and all-around smart guy. Also a Tennessee grad. Talks a lot about Steve White or about Tennessee. Playoffs! Don't make me start doing that shit now. Sorry. Anyway, hopefully you guys are having a good time. It's 10:16. We're still going strong. Dual Brain's back in the house. Checking to see if we're still talking about the Bucks, and we are. Let's do our Skulls and Swords. I'm going to hop over to the What the Buck Facebook page, which is part of our social media blitz. That's not true. It is sort of true. We're pretty prevalent in social media. There's some other folks around here that would absolutely like to be as well known, for lack of a better word, in social media. We got a couple of people out there who seem to like us. But I'm going to go out there and see the Skulls and Swords. I think Spent put those out here earlier tonight. But, of course, Facebook is being a pain in the ass. Here we go. Skulls and Swords. Only 17 comments. We got a bunch of people in the chat room, but not as many out there. Lawrence, come on, brother. Don't go so long-winded on me. He's hard to pick anyone for this game. Really close. What are we going to do? Call out the secondary? Lawrence, you talk all that noise. You don't give me any numbers, any people. That's painful. Am I in the Skull and Swords section? I am. Drop your Skulls and Swords. Reminder, Skulls and Swords is something we've been doing now for 6 years. Sword is like your MVP of the game. One guy. One person. Don't tell me the cornerbacks. Don't tell me the offensive line. Don't tell me the defense. Don't give me a list of six people. Tell me one person. If you really want to jump on a whole crew, say Coach Sheridan. Give me a coach. That's fine. We'll allow that. But other than that, one person, Sword. That's good. Skull is the bonehead. That's the bad thing. Again, one person, one and only one. It's like Highlander. So he's going after Freeman for the skull. But, I mean, and there's good talk out there. Lawrence and Jeff Carter, that's good conversation out there. But we really want to get to one. Bob Ripperton gets it done. Sword for Freeman. Skull for Shiano for not calling timeout before the two-minute warning. Bucko Pat, sword for Freeman. Skull for Connor for missing a possible game-winning field goal. Man, see, that's the thing about being a kicker, man. You are hero or goat. Absolutely hero or goat. Crabtree, sword to Freeman, skull to Meredith. The big hole that brought the Doug Martin run back. Interesting. Joseph Butter, sword to Freeman, skull to Johnson. And then he attacks Bucko Pat for picking on Connor Barth. Kyle Pagliarini. Pagliarini? I think that's right. Sorry if I mispronounced it, Kyle. Freeman and Barth, but I don't know which is for which. I'm assuming they are in order, so a sword for Freeman and a skull for Barth. Daniel Gonzalez, sword for Biggers for stepping his game up. A skull to Black for giving up six in the end zone with that flag. That was brutal. Richard Griffin, skull to Freeman. Too many points left out there with bad throws. Sword to Biggers. I still believe in that kid, says Richard Griffin. Captain Reno weighs in. A sword to Biggers for playing a decent game. A skull to DC Bill Sheridan. That's allowed. For terrible defensive game plan, for not taking away the middle from Gonzalez, leaving DBs like Leonard Johnson one-on-one against receivers like Julio Jones. By the way, Reno, there are going to be times where guys like Leonard Johnson are one-on-one against Julio Jones. It's going to happen. But I see your point about the middle zone. Our middle zone's been soft all year. Mason Foster, despite playing good football all year, earlier I was bragging on this guy. The first five games, I couldn't talk enough about him. Has not been good getting into a backpedal. But then again, we haven't been running a lot of Tampa 2 that I've noticed either, so I'm not sure how often it's his fault. Mike Singleton, Shiano Skull should have punted the ball instead of the long field goal. Wow. I didn't see that one coming. David Fernandez, sword to E.J. Biggers. Never doubt him for a second. Wow. Shit, there's a lot of crazy eye-openers. Skull to the sun. That's interesting. Peter Roy, sword to Dallas Clark for continuing to play better than anyone thought he would. A skull to Shiano for bad judgment on more than a couple of critical points during the game. Keith Bryan, sword to Rondé for the pick and still being the man. Skull to Shiano for the poor clock management. Joseph Fye, sword to Doug Martin with another two TDs. Skull to Leonard Johnson, getting smoked and failing to wrap up Julio Jones. That's really my beef with that play. Julio Jones is a hell of a receiver. He's going to catch passes. You got to make the tackle, right? You can't go all Aqib Talib and try and be feast or famine. You just can't do it. Michael Singleton, bad one was just cut by the Eagles. That's not the point here, but that's all good. Sword to EJ for holding his own against Roddy White. Skull to Freeman for missing easy touchdown throws to V-Jax and Mike Williams for the half, which might have been the difference. That's from Matt Johnson, and those are our skulls and our swords. We got some people in the chat room doing it. Sword for Orlovsky. If he started, he would have thrown 12 TDs. Oh, I love it. I love sarcasm. People say it's the lowest form of wit, but I don't agree. I think it's good. Nud, skull for Barber for not returning his pickoff for touchdown. Sword for Blunt for not getting his jersey dirty. You guys are funny. Ron's still doing the... So in case you guys don't remember, Ron is in fact the president of the Eric Lorg fan club. Make sure. Who caused a penalty on Doug Martin? Javon Meredith was the call there. Sword, V-Jax. Bald skull, Mike Williams are doing a bad Freeman impression, missing V. Jackson's stride. I like that play call, though. You know, sword for old school's hat, says Leslie Thompson. Look at that. Take that, fuckers. I don't have it out here. Make the block off wants me to check the mailbag because he's old school like that. My mail's not working on this computer. Sorry, dude. You're going to have to do it some other way. For some reason, mail is all jacked up on this PC. And I just don't care. But I love you, Make the Block Hop. So make the block hop and get me the answers outside of mail. Skull for the tie-dye hat. Oh, fuck you, Dory. Just because you got a gorgeous girlfriend who for some reason actually likes you. That's brutal, but I'm just kidding. She is gorgeous. By the way, you have a beautiful girlfriend. She's very friendly. We got to see you guys at the tailgate. But my hat was hot. It was liquid fire. Sword to old school. Well, that's good loving. Thanks. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that. I know why mail's busted. Dual Brain, you still in the house? I wonder if mail's busted because of the DNS stuff. We have to check. Skull to the timeout. The chicks in Arizona dug it, and you, Leslie and Sugar, both dug the hat. That's good to know. Old school, what's your favorite Kool-Aid flavor? Cherry, bitch. Recognize, there is no other flavor of Kool-Aid. Grape is acceptable if you can't find cherry, but only if you can't find cherry. And we don't call them cherry and grape. We call them purple and red. Red is cherry. It's not tropical punch. Tropical punch is for suckers. There you go. We'll have to check, Dual Brain. So, Tropical Punch is ass. Absolute ass. My sword and my skull. It's interesting. Sword and skull is always hard for me because I get a chance to read you guys and hear all that stuff. I am absolutely going to go with the skull to Coach Shiano, even though I have to give the coaching staff so much credit for what they've done so far. The timeout situation I just don't get. And I don't use inexcusable. I think it's a dumb word. I hear people saying our pass defense is just inexcusable. People use all this braggadocious or bravado to prove a point. That's not what I'm saying. But I've got to give it to Coach Shiano for not making the call in the timeout. I don't get that. I have no problem with the field goal. I've got Connor Barth. I love Rook's comment earlier. He's our franchise player. You ride that horse. It's funny. But he is. You have a kicker on your team. You know. Okay, here's the thing. If we get to within X yards, call it 58 yards, it's going to be a field goal. They knew that going in. You ride or die with that call. I don't have a problem with it personally. That's just me. But again, I'm just kind of old school. On the sword side, it's interesting. I mean, you could certainly make a call for Rondé. He had a splash play. I love the Ted Larson pick because I haven't watched a coach's film. I can't get into my really geeky picks around those lines. And I can't give it to Josh Freeman because he did miss open throws. Did I think he showed composure and come back? Absolutely. I think quietly V-Jax had a hell of a game. He didn't get touchdowns, but I would give it to V-Jax. That's what I would have done, you know. Every effing week, but for life. Not sure what that is. I missed that in the chat room. Roy Miller's sword for Calico Jack. It's interesting. Nothing would be worse than the game they did it when they were driving and they fired the cannons while at the line of scrimmage. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You missed my skull? My skull was Coach Shannon for the time management, Nud. The non-timeout, it's vexing. It's absolutely vexing. I don't get it. And I get people saying Josh because he's leaving the points on the field. I do. I get it. I really do. Many people thought the 62-yard attempt by Matt Bryan against the Eagles years ago was stupid also. I know, and I actually used that as a comment after that. Leslie missed it too. And by the way, for you guys that are bitching about ads, there's a couple ways to do that. You guys in the chat room, remind folks how to do that with Firefox and Chrome. Brian Dory, why are you bitching about Sullivan? Why is Josh's first read Underwood and Clark all of a sudden? I don't know that it is his first read. I haven't noticed that being the case. Don't know. Matt Bryant missing kicks was funny. That's interesting. That's interesting. But those are my swords and my skulls. Now, let's talk a little bit about Denver. Right? Let's do that. The kid did breakdance. Remind you guys, he didn't breakdance. He was doing a Dougie. And if you guys want to do the Dougie, then get it in there. Roman, Captain Bones, if you're still in the chat room, drop your email in there. I think it's buckwildboys@live.com. And Matt Bryan is not gay. We love Matt Bryan. He's a good person. He used to kick for us. You know that. He's a good kicker for us. Didn't work out. We still like him down here. I don't know why you got to be all angry, make the block hop. Get some love in your life. Don't be a hater. Come on now. But I'm glad he missed those two kicks. So, yeah, Dory, I'll go back and watch it. I got to watch the game again anyway. I didn't notice that to be the case. What I did notice, again, anecdotally, thank you, Spent. She's giving me the details about the doing the Dougie. A 30-second clip of you doing your best Dougie, and you can win 4 tickets to the Eagles game, as well as tailgating, the whole 9 yards. It's good stuff. It's a great contest, and it'd be fun to have the videos. If you guys put the videos up there, if you have the stones to do your own video, we'll get it out there. You're going to go nude, Buck for Life? That's great. Do your thing, son. I mean, I'm going to tell you not to. See, Animal, good having you in the room, brother. What the hell was I going to say? Damn it. I can't remember what I was going to say now. We're talking about Denver again. Oh, yeah. So I didn't see Atlanta going into single high very often. I think that they've watched the tape and they realize what we're going to do if they go single high. And so that's kind of taken away some of those things. We run a lot more vertical routes now than we did in the past. And that takes time to develop. And when you have Taquan Underwood being your guy who's running the drags across the middle, you're going to have that. Now, Dallas Clark is someone you're starting to trust, I think. So that's interesting. What's the over-under for auction tags? I don't know. And someone asked earlier, I think, Leslie, how hard it is to play at Mile High. I've never played at Mile High. I've never even been to Mile High. But as I understand it, it is non-trivial to play in that environment. Now, it's interesting. You know, that drop for Underwood was huge. That's for sure. I bet Preston Parker would have caught that. Where's Bucko Pat for me? We shouldn't have cut him. He was good. Wah! Florida State homer. I'm just kidding, buddy. I love you. Not in a gay way. Not there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying. I saw this deep sideline opportunities. If single high with no man corner, I'll take eight. I agree, Dory. I totally agree. If you see single high, if you legit see single high, then I'm taking my odds 83 or 19. I'm going to make a call based on where that single safety is. And we're going to nines down the side, and that's what's going to happen, right? It's absolutely true. But I just didn't see it a lot during the game, right, because I usually call that shit out. But I agree. And for those of you guys who don't know what we're talking about, safeties back to defensive backs, quite often pre-snap, one will rotate down, get into the box, be in there and run support or whatever the case may be. See you, Matt. It was good having you in the chat room, man. I know we're going long tonight. It's a little bit long for some folks. We're almost an hour and a half right now. That forces that one safety to cover the entire field, and it just cannot happen. So you go to nines, which are flies. You let your two guys go down the sideline. You lay it out over their shoulder. You throw a fade stop if the corners get on their horse and get back there. So, at any rate, they weren't too deep safety. It seemed there were a lot of Tampa 2-type coverage. And that's fine. I'm not trying to throw in between those two necessarily. If they're going to be in Tampa 2, and they're going to have two safeties back, two corners on the back pedal, and a middle linebacker going back to middle center, then I'm going to hit my seams, I'm going to hit my drags, and I'm going to hit my digs. Right? That's what I'm going to look for if I'm the quarterback. But that's just me. Let's go all night. Nice. Denver. Scared to death of Peyton Manning. This pass defense scares me. What I've been saying for a while is, I get it. You've got to try and do some shit to help these guys out. You can't leave them out on an island. I'm okay with playing shell coverage, making them do everything in front of you. Totally okay with that. Not a problem with that. We're not going to do that, but I'd be totally okay with that. If you're not going to do that, if you're going to do this crazy blitz bullshit, right? If you're going to do this crazy blitz bullshit, what I don't understand is why we're not just taking a risk. If you're gonna screw yourself, at least take the risk and try and go for the high reward, right? So try and guess at where they're going to go, right? Force them to make a check. Force the quarterback. Show him stuff. If you've ever played poker, the thing about poker is you have to tell a story with your behavior, with your betting patterns, right? And if you don't play poker, or Texas Hold'em specifically, this will make no sense, so I apologize. We don't go deep enough, Ron. What the hell are you talking about? We've run more vertical routes this year than I've ever seen the Bucks run, ever. But at any rate, in poker, your betting pattern has to tell a story about the strength of your hand. Whether it's true or not is immaterial. With football, the same thing is the case. You show the quarterback a blitz so that he makes his read decision, and then you rotate your coverage underneath that. He's no Brady Quinn, says Rod. Nice job. And that's the thing. With Manning, trying to play chess with this motherfucker is going to be brutal. Because he is very, very talented, as you're all aware. You know? It's not sporadic, Ron. I totally disagree. The number of verticals is amazing, actually. But again, I mean, if you don't have NFL Game Rewind yet, guys, go get it. It's worth the money. I think it's like $40 for the year. You get coaches film, and you can go check those things out. So Bob Rifferton agrees with this analogy. If he plays poker, obviously, the trick is doing that against Manning. You're just asking for trouble. He is so smart, and he sees things so fast. You know, the other thing we have to be careful about is this substitution shit. I haven't watched enough Denver to know this, but back in the Indianapolis Colts days, when they'd go sugar huddle or the equivalent of sugar huddle, he didn't let you sub. He really didn't. He really didn't. So, we'll see. I would absolutely not have a problem with rushing four and playing coverage and saying, you know what, you may drive down the field on us, but you're going to take 7, 8, 9 minutes to do it. You know? On offense, I see a whole lot of rushing. Whole lot of rushing. You're going to have to force them to stop you. I know what Steve said about Von Miller, but I don't give a damn if this guy's got a fucking S on his chest. I'm going to crack back him. I'm going to double him. I'm going to chip him. I am going to spend the whole first quarter and part of the second quarter trying to literally beat the living dog shit out of Von Miller. All legal. I'm not saying cheat. What I'm saying is this son of a bitch is going to have his head on a swivel, and he's going to have bruises from top to bottom. Because I'm not letting him beat us. I will not do it. Unleash Myron Lewis. Free Myron Lewis. Some illegal, says Callie. No, you know, I am not an illegal guy. But I am simply saying there is no way in hell I am letting him run all over the damn field. Bynum would be in there. Hell, if True Blood didn't go to IR, I would have had him in there more often. He ain't cheating, he ain't trying. I like it. But yeah, I just don't think you can run away from someone like that. You cannot let a player dictate to you. You dictate to that player. And Elvis Dumervil is pretty good, right? But fuck that. I ain't running scared from anybody. But do a little Sue. Anyway, I don't have a prediction for Denver. I haven't watched them play enough. I am excited about going out there. It's my first time to the stadium. It should be a good time. I'm going to try and hook up with the Bronconator, fellow Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association Hall of Fame fan. Should be a good time. Fuck Sue, says Leslie Thompson. It's funny. You know, a lot of people have been very, very upset that we didn't get Dominican Sue. That sort of has drifted off recently. So that's nice to see. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, for staying. 28 of you guys staying this whole damn time. Bucks win 37-0. I like it. That'd be phenomenal. Believe me. I'm going to unleash McCoy's 3 sacks and a fumble return. It's funny, Nud. You know, Sue on that same list, I think, is number 9. That's awesome. Thank you guys for joining the show. We will not have another show this week. We may do some YouTube videos. You never know. We may have to try and do some of those with my schedule the way it's going. Boot camp in Denver. Hell no. Are you kidding me? I'm going to be drunk from the time I hit the plane until the time I hit the plane on the way back. Boot camp is the furthest from my mind out there. I'm busting my ass. I'm working out again tomorrow. You guys can't tell because I don't look like I work out, but you guys can come to boot camp anyway, anytime you want to. I will make some noise, Dory. That you can rest assured. My man David Lawler from the UK is going out there, too. He came to the game this week. It was good to see. I'm leaving Friday. Friday morning, actually. So should be a good time. I'll be in touch. I'll be on Twitter. You guys know that. Follow us on Twitter. The social media marks there. Take a look at the new website. Big thanks to Dual Brain. Let us know what you think. Interact with the website. When we post things out there, we're going to try and get some authors. We've got some great guys like Brian Dory and Drew Hamilton who've written for us in the past. We'd love them to write some more. Hint, 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 fucking hint. We'd love to have you write some more. We've got author pages and all sorts of cool shit out there. We'd love to get more interaction on the actual webpage because we always try and up the ante a little bit. With the new webpage, we're going to try and do a lot more work there, too. You'll be on the sideline? I doubt it. I doubt if I'll get on the sideline. Spent was trying to make that happen, weekly at least, not monthly or bi-monthly. Hey, quit talking shit, Buck for Life. You can write, too. If you got all this ubiquitous spare time, you know, we can get that done. Semester ends next week. Come on, man, you're smart. You don't need all that time to do that stuff. Send me a hat or call your bed even. That's not going to happen. But I can get you a hat if that'll make it even. Anyway, that's it for me, man. I'm going to go get some fluids. I'm still trying to get over this cold. This is the best my voice has sounded since the game. It's a miracle that it happened for the game. Thanks for joining the show. Until next time, get out there, watch our Bucks, and don't give up hope. You guys saying it's over. It ain't over till the fat lady sings and that bitch is silent right now. Go Buccaneers.
Work.
Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest.
Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck. To receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight, and see you next time. And most of all, go